Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the fifth day of September, year 2018. And I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting for the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is silver and gold, the current Q posts, preparedness, the ARC project, and, of course, an open forum period for any of the items that you as the listeners may have for us to discuss. Before we get started, we do dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. We do welcome callers during the program. We ask that you keep your questions or comments short so that others can participate. We are in the question and answer mode, which means if you have something you would like to speak about, on the phone you would hit star 6. On your computers you would click on the button that says Q&A or just questions and answers. That will put you in a what they call a queue for me to see, and then when I have time I will unmute you and you'll be able to speak. To our listeners and supporters out there, we give a hearty thank you and shout out, and also to our guests out there in Bank Versus UTV, hosted by Jimmy over in Tampa. So welcome to the folks over there. An awful lot going on, folks. We've got a couple verses we're going to read and get into some of the latest and greatest that's going on. Jimmy says here something about that he will MSA rebooted me, although backup was 15 seconds to go live. Okay. Well, there's a lot of strange stuff going on for phones and computers, even health-wise lately. So we'll get into all that stuff here in just a minute. Verse for tonight is Matthew chapter 28, starting at verse 18. Yahshua came to them and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on the earth. Go and make disciples of all nations," that's ethnos, that's peoples, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. Remember, if you love me, obey my commandments. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Doesn't say the end of the world. No, this world isn't going to go anywhere. End of the age. Amen. We also have Ezekiel 25 and 14, and we keep repeating this just like Obadiah 18, because they are significant based on what we're seeing transpire across the world right now, especially with the advent of the Q posts and things related to that. The Israelis are being outed for being the traitors of all mankind that they really are. So Ezekiel warned us of this in chapter 25 at verse 14, and we will read that here. "And I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people Jacob Israel." Now you notice that's not a country. A lot of people, these false teachers behind the pulpits, they'll be telling you to look at Israel as if this is the Israel being spoke of. No, it's not. That's a lie. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. It's always been a people, a race of people, actually even a subset within a race of people. All right? It's not a country. It's never been a country because the Israelites traveled all over the world. Okay? So he says, "I'm going to lay my vengeance upon Edom Esau," who are the Jews today, "by the hand of my people Jacob Israel, and they shall do in Edom according to mine anger and according to my fury. and they shall know my vengeance, saith Yahweh El Shaddai. And again, this is backed up in the prophet Obadiah at verse 18, when Jacob and Joseph are referred to as a flame and a fire, and Edom Esau as stubble. And anybody that grew up on a farm like I did, when you're baling hay, there's a lot of little piles of hay left in the hayfield. Okay, that's called stubble. That's just stuff that the baler and the cutter bar, when you cut the hay, couldn't get. And when the baler picked up the hay to make the hay bales, these were the pieces of straw and hay that are left behind. It's called stubble. And if you ever ran through a field of hay like that, you'd understand why you might want to call it stubble. Because sometimes you'd trip over it, and a lot of times it would get in the cuffs of your pants and down in your sneakers and or your boots, whatever you're wearing. So a lot of these biblical references mean a lot more to those of us that grew up on farms than it does the people that didn't. So a flame and a fire is what we're referred to. Stubble is what the enemies refer to, which means that we will at some point consume them completely. In the judgments written, okay, all we have to do is obey Yahweh's law, and our enemy is powerless. All right, if you think about that. Everybody gives the Jews their control of the world banks, the media, the major media, and all of the despotic things they've done with this power. But really, the sad fact is that they couldn't do a darn thing if we obeyed our Father's law. All right? That's all we have to do, obey O Father's law. So again, two verses, Ezekiel in chapter 25, Obadiah at verse 18. That's a double witness to what is about to take place. Because with the advent of the internet, especially within the last 5 years, and all of these huge search engines, the networking of people, whether some people say social media, but there's a lot of ways to network with folks outside of social media. So the networking of people who are finally realizing that things have gotten bad enough that they have ceased to have their faces glued to television sets to watch the mindless dribble they call entertainment, to get their faces out of the so-called sports so that they can start to interact with each other, share knowledge, share research, and start putting all these pieces together. Because doesn't the scriptures say that we should work as a team? We come together and we learn things line upon line, precept upon precept, correct? So it does seem to be happening and taking place. So these are good things. Here at Psalm 149, for Yahweh takes pleasure in his people, he crowns the humble with salvation. So most of the people in this world today sort of lost the whole notion as far as what humility means. And you'll have to excuse me there, but I got a troll that's constantly trying to log in here, trying to interrupt things and everything else. So I've temporarily locked the conference. If anybody's trying to call in or log in, they'll have to wait a few minutes, but he's annoying me. He's tried at least 25 times. Oh, I guess that doesn't work, so might as well unlock it. Still learning how this thing works, but there is a button I can push, hopefully, that would keep that from happening, but haven't found it out yet, so I still have to constantly drop him from the ranks of those listening in. That is the annoying thing about doing calls like this, is when you get a troll, because they constantly try to log in to interfere with what's going on. In some cases, they have programs where you can block them. The only problem with the free conference call is I haven't yet figured that out. I thought I had, but I guess I hadn't. So you have to, if I pause for a second every now and then, that's what's going on. I had another one here, all from Ecclesiastes chapter 12. This is the end of the matter. All has been heard. Okay, you got to remember, before the written texts were made available, it was always by the hearing that we've got the word of our Father, and most of the communication that was going on, okay? So all has been heard. Fear Yahweh, which means reverence him, and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Okay? The whole duty of man, the fear of Yahweh. And if you fear Yahweh, what else would come along with that? It's called obedience. All right? Obedience what? Obedience to his laws. Okay? So, we again, if we want to undo what the New World Order and the Cabal is trying to do to mankind, we simply learn his laws and implement them in our lives once again. Okay, see here. Our founding fathers used to tell us that disobedience to tyrants is obedience to our living God, our Father. So a lot of people say in the church world today, the prostitutes behind the pulpit, they'll say, well, you have to obey government. And they'll quote things from like Romans chapter 13 and other places like that. But the problem is that they only read part of the chapter, like so many modern day church world people. They only read part of it and give it to you, and they don't read the whole chapter. Yes, we are supposed to give our allegiance to government and recognize those in authority over us if they themselves are obeying God's law. Which, again, if you read Romans properly interpreted, that's as clear as a bell. Pastor Chuck Baldwin and his son wrote an excellent book on Romans chapter 13, and they can give you the nuts and bolts of that correctly translated and show you that we do not owe them anything as far as allegiance and obedience when they are not in agreement with our Heavenly Father's law. All right? So, give me just a second. I'm going to try something. Okay, I'm going to try that, see if that works. I don't know if it will or not. Nope, that didn't work either, so. Well, that's going to be a letter to the folks that put this program together, why they did not allow a host to be able to block somebody permanently instead of having to do it every time they try to log in. We'll try to get that fixed. Thomas Jefferson told us that when injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty, and that's exactly right. So, and the good news is, as people are communicating with one another and learning through the internet and other forms of communication, they're gaining knowledge, but they're also gaining strength of character. They're also gaining confidence. Just today, I watched a lady out of Jupiter, Florida, who has a new YouTube channel. And she was interviewing two of the latest intelligence officers that have decided to become whistleblowers about what's going on. And so they have, they did an hour-long interview. And these guys are backing up what many of the other predecessors, Bill Binney, Robert David Steele, Kevin Shipp, and many others that have already stepped forward to denounce what's going on in the intelligence communities. All right. So, let's see here. George Washington told us when government takes away a citizen's right to bear arms, it becomes the citizen's duty to take away the government's privilege to govern. Now, the original quote from George Washington, he said it was the right to govern. They don't have any rights. That's something our people need to learn. Government has no rights. They have obligations, and they have restrictions put on them, okay? But they don't have any rights. Only you and I have rights, and they come from our Heavenly Father. It's kind of interesting that in the Q post, they talk about many of the things that we've been talking about on this radio broadcast for quite some time. The fact that we often talk about the Pennsylvania State Constitution, where it says to reform, alter, or even abolish a government that ceases to provide for our peace, safety, and happiness. And that goes all the way up to the federal government, all right? Again, government exists to provide peace, safety, and happiness. That's the only legitimate purpose for government, okay, is to assist us in those ends. When they cease to provide for those, they've outlived their usefulness, okay? Hold on, I want to answer Jimmy's listening in here, and he says he knows how to take care of the troublemaker. And I'm trying to see here what it is that we can do. But in the meantime, we'll try to go on here. And then we'll get into the topics. Again, the Code of Honor says, be without fear in the face of your enemies. Stand brave and upright that Yahweh God may love thee. Speak the truth always, even if it means your death. Protect the helpless and do no wrong. What's the libertarians say? Do no harm. That's their way of putting it. It's basically the same thing, though. Do no harm. That's the essence of scriptural law, if you read it. We are to honor our Heavenly Father who made this world that we live in. He gave us all of the rules. He set the laws of nature in their place. And it's simply our job to learn them and obey them, okay? And that's when you... it's when you have peace. Never be lukewarm. Life itself demands passion. He who is indifferent to Yahweh has already forfeited his soul. He who is indifferent to politics has already forfeited his liberty. In America, religion is not mere window dressing, and citizenship is not a mere spectator sport. Do not allow our common destiny as a whole people to just happen without your input. Oh, okay, Jimmy, thanks, buddy. Not a quick fix. We need to take care of it off air, which we will do. So by the time the next broadcast happens, we'll be able to block this troublemaker. Okay, that's most of the quotes I had today. And now I wanted to get into, and again, if you do have, okay, hold a minute, Jim. Folks that do have anything to report, we've got some items here on the bullet list to cover and whatnot. A lot of things going on. We said this was going to be a big week, and it's already shaping up to that effect. The IG report looks like it's going to be declassified in the very near future. Which is going to create a hellstorm in Washington, D.C. Also, a lot of rumbles in the banking world. Some of the things I read this morning, some of the major movers of gold and silver and other metal assets had their accounts frozen. They weren't taken, but they were frozen. So there's some strange things going on. Let's see. We'll find out here what Jimmy's got to say. Welcome to the program, Jimmy.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Dan. It's interesting. I try to keep track of everything you build up to, and it's hard sometimes, although it's not because we're so much in parallel. But I'm going to go backwards this time, if I may. You know, you and I have talked on air and off air about silver and gold. Silver and gold. See, you're correct. There is definitely a fungus among us. I aired from 9 a.m. this morning until your show, the confirmation hearing for Mr. Kavanaugh. Now, I don't know Mr. Kavanaugh. Dan, do you?
Not personally, no.
Okay. But as him being our employee... indirectly in certain jurisdictions, a 12-year judge, and it has a rich history of, you know, even being in the situation room at the White House during 9/11, which, folks, is coming up any day now. We're trying to confirm this judge. And Dan, I don't think I'm going too far off topic, and if I am, if you bear with me, if folks would watch, yesterday was about 13 hours. Today is still going on, and I plan to air tomorrow, and I plan to archive it, Dan, because this is making history. And some to your points, the Democratic people that I cannot believe are sitting up there, Dan, asking questions like this gentleman is fixing his Red Ryder wagon or his Red Ryder BB gun. And I know I'm kind of down the trail, Dan, but are we going to have our opportunity in the coming weeks? Because my answer is yes, to lead the witness, that I think the apple cart has turned over.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, they've been given an opportunity to basically expose themselves, which they have done. Q, if you watch the Q post, Q constantly refers to these people as being stupid. And if you look at some of the idiotic things they're doing, just like that Casio, what the hell's her name, Alexandra Casio Gomez or Rodriguez, whatever the hell her name is, that she's an airhead.
We awarded her the New York Beaner, and I hope
right.
I don't offend anyone, but go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, she's typical of what the left has got to offer right now. I mean, a complete airhead. And she's out there being an obvious communist, offering the people everything for free, saying they deserve this and all. You know, and it reminds me so much of the Bolshevik Revolution when 100 years ago the Jewish Bolsheviks went into Russia to overthrow the Tsar. That was their intention, but they didn't go in to fight a fight because they knew they couldn't win a fair fight, so they had to go in and do it through deception, just like the Israeli Mossad makes war.
Well, hey, Dan, real quick, there was a video 2 days ago to your exact point. She walked into an elementary school as the star, okay, and of course, you know, when you and I were in first grade and we see, I don't know, an astronaut or a fireman or a doctor come in, we're going to have instant respect based upon our upbringing, I would think. I would, anyway. So, she goes in there, I've got the video and I'll email it to you, you know, and she's making all buddy nice with these little kids and high-fiving them and, you know, she just gained their trust. And then, Dan, and I'll yield with this comment, she proceeded to program these kids. You'll be shocked and amazed, or maybe you won't, on the syntax and the word patterns. She, and the thing is, she already had, because she's the good-looking girl, and she's high-fiving her, oh boy. You see what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, brother, I just wanted to poke in because that woman is evil, but in my yield comment, she is the byproduct of something much more better and more deeper, as we say in the South, than that little beaner up there in New York. She is being fueled by some underlying well, and of course, we probably can trace that back to Mr. Source. Anyway, Dan, I'm going to mute. You don't have to mute me. I'm going to mute on the Panasonic here. And you want me, I'm here.
All right, buddy. That's good points, though. Good points, because the left is doing this. For instance, Massachusetts has the first black woman running to represent them in Congress now. Going to run unopposed as a Democrat, already coming out with her communist spiels about how rotten Trump is and what the Trump administration is trying to do. And let's look back at this. Let's see, what's Trump trying to do? Let's see, make America great again. Okay, bring our jobs back. Take the Fed and bring it back. As the Constitution commands, by the way, that the money issuance of your money is to be held, be administered by your government, not private bankers. Okay, so again, people say, well, he's trying to undo America and make it not great again. It was great before, but now it's not because it's racist. It's xenophobic. Let's see. Clear up until the 1900s, the Supreme Court said non-whites had no standing in front of the Supreme Court because the Constitution was written for white people, the people that founded this country. And again, because of the modernists and the people that are progressives, basically call them Bolshevik Zionists. They want to make over America like they've done every white nation into this polyglot that they can control. And they know they can't control a bunch of Bible-believing white guys. All right, so the very first thing they have to do is to undo them. All right, they have to take the power and disenfranchise white men, especially white believers, white men who have the faith. And look what's happened in this country. And like I said, you look at this Ocasio up there in New York. What is she? Hispanic. You look down in Massachusetts, black. You look at when the orangutan was in the White House, everybody he was appointing to a high office was something other than a white male. All right? White Protestant males were almost non-existent in the governing of this country for decades, and they're the ones that founded it. That's historical fact. It was the white Protestant mindset that governed America when she became great. So let me give you a clue here. Just like Q is constantly asking questions, trying to get people to think again, I like to do the same thing. Let me ask you. We lived in a country that became great with a certain group of people making its decisions. Do you think if we went back to that, it might come back into its greatness again? Yeah, the answer is yes. Now, for the multiculturalists, they don't like hearing that. But then again, multiculturalism creates destruction. There's no unity in multiculturalism. Never has been. So everything is against the white race, and in particular the white man. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. Just look at everything. Hate crime laws, who do they apply to? Okay, take a guess. White men, or white people, but particularly white men. All right? So it's time to wake up. It really is. We got to get back to our basics. We got to get back to what works. And besides, what works comes right out of Scripture. The Israelites were a racial group of people. Anybody that says the Israelites was a mixed multitude is a liar. All right? It was a racial group of people. Leviticus and Deuteronomy say you are never to bring in a non-white, in our case, a person not of your race, and give them authority. All right? You're never supposed to do that. The authority stays within your race. It's really, really simple. We got a caller. We got Renata. Let me see what Renata has to say. Renata, welcome to the program.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good. This is my first time here. I don't really want to say anything right now because I still have problems with it. I clicked on it by accident.
Oh, okay.
Maybe Werner wants to say something.
Yeah, okay. Good evening.
Good evening, Werner. How are you doing?
Oh, hanging in there now for the last 45 years. But anyway... I try to analyze the situation and who are the ones that are complaining, you know, about of lack of and want to reintroduce democracy and picture themselves as the champions of democracy. We
right.
have seen over the decades in history what their track record is. We have seen their track record when they wanted to bring a democracy and basically heaven on earth to the people of Russia and all the other Eastern European countries they had under their power. And this small group that has been instigating it now over the centuries, you know, about human rights. What are their human rights? Look at their bases down in Israel. Human rights. Who were the ones that were exploiting the workers in Europe? It always comes back to the same group of perpetrators.
Right. Just like termites. Right.
We have to look at the basics, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they talk about democracy. a group that is maybe one third of the world population. And they run the show and they want to preach us about democracy.
Right.
I think anybody who falls for that corn, you know, they need their head examined. And the same way, the politicians who are pushing that agenda, you know, they have to be drawn out in the open, you know.
Yeah.
And now, as I say, in the communist countries, in their reigning 30 years of power, what did they use? They used psychiatrists, you know, and intellectuals. And anybody who didn't appreciate their benevolent communist system, there must be something wrong with their head. And now we have to turn that around against those that who want to destroy us. And anybody who is basically in opposition to their agenda, psychiatrist to the rescue, psychiatric horse to the rescue. That's one aspect. And we have to take courage, you know, do our homework. And at gatherings, or when they want to get elected again, you know, put that out openly. Better get your head examined, you know. Basically, you know, in when I was living in Germany, they were making the joke, you know, and they said, they are, you know, representatives of the psychiatric profession from different countries. They were come together at a conference, you know, and each one was boasting what big of a psychiatric facilities they had. And as a joke, they said, they named a certain country. Oh, in that country, we put a whole roof over. And I think that can be applied now to North America and to a lot of most of the Western European countries. You know, they're completely out of touch with reality, and that is a psychiatric condition.
Right, right. Well, that's what the Jews did when they control the media and the broadcasting networks, and they got a lot of control over the manufacturing of different pieces of the puzzle, like cinema cameras and the technology. They got a hold of that and put a lot of patents on it and made sure only people that were in favor of their worldview would get the rights to use it, etc. And so they've been in control of the narrative for a long time until the internet, until Yahweh opened up the portals for knowledge to be shared through the internet. And knowledge is power. And if you read Revelation, when it says that Christ's return, he would have a double-edged sword that would proceed from his mouth. To me, that's the spoken word of truth. It cuts like a sword. And that's what's happening right now. And it sounds like this week is the start of the declassifying of a lot of documents here in Washington, D.C., and there will be exposing a lot of the evil elements around the world, just like the Pope is being exposed right now. So this is the outing of those who have committed the crimes that Hillary referred to when she said, if this bastard gets elected, we're all going to hang, because they should hang. They're guilty of heinous crimes. Most of the public has not even been told the worst of it yet. That's yet to come. We've only been given enough to know that these people have committed capital crimes, but when the whole picture is divulged to the public of what these people have done, there is going to be a cry for their hanging. In fact, Q says it won't even be safe for them to walk down the streets, because if they get recognized, somebody's going to try to take them out.
Didn't Bush Senior make this kind of a statement there?
Yes, yes.
If people know what we have done.
Right. If the American public knew what we've done, they would track us down and hang us or lynch us. Something to that effect. He's a criminal too. So it's all going to come out. I think this week is going to be very, very big, and next week as well. we're going to see a lot of changes between now and the middle of November. So over the next 2 months, there's going to be a lot of information divulged. A lot of arrests are going to be made. I read an article just a little bit ago that supposedly, I have not verified this, but supposedly elements of the United States military in a foreign country has taken the Clinton Foundation's funds, have shut them down, and either confiscated them or froze them to where they cannot be used. So if the military is starting to make actions like this, I believe the military is going to step up their role between now and mid-November. I think the tribunals will come into effect very soon. That's why they've been talking about it. And the fact that the court system, we don't need the court system because it's corrupt anyway, military tribunals, and we are under a state of emergency. And if people read what that means, they would understand how significant it is. When the president declares a state of emergency, he has all kinds of powers that would not necessarily he wouldn't necessarily have. And that includes, if it's necessary, you can even declare martial law. Now, personally, I think that would be a bad move at this point in time, but he could do that. The main thing is that he can call in the military for certain duties. He can also go around the corrupt court system to go after the bad actors. So it's going to really be something. This week is, like, again, this week is already showing signs that a tidal wave is coming. Now, Q refers to a D5 or a Delta 5 in some of the postings. And just like we have classifications of tornadoes and hurricanes, avalanches also have a classification. And Delta 5 or D5 is the worst case avalanche scenario. Just like a class 5 hurricane is the worst, a D5 avalanche is the worst. So when it refers to D5, it means there's going to be an avalanche coming in this world very, very soon upon the heads of the cabal, upon the evildoers, and this world's going to change in a very short period of time. Did you guys have anything else, Renata? Or hello? Did you guys mute yourself already? Okay. I guess I did. I'll mute here in case they want to talk or whatever. But back to what we were saying here a few minutes ago, that the Q posts are revealing a lot of the stuff that's going on. If you don't follow them, get into some of the YouTube channels that do really good jobs of that. Destroying the Illusion is one. In Pursuit of Truth is another. Just Informed Talk is another. And Praying Medic is another. And I think the American Intelligence Network does a good job as well. So also word on the street is Jerome Corsi is going to be called in to testify. The only problem with Jerome Corsi is that, as far as I'm concerned, he's a Jewish apologist, and that's why I don't follow anything that he puts out there. I bought his book. I got partway into it, and it was obvious to me that I put him in the same category as Alex Jones. They'll take you there. They'll give you an ocean of truth, but no, they won't stop the little lie put up on the top by the Satanists. Okay, now somebody, Renata says that they lost sound. Is sound still good for everybody else? Can you still hear? Okay. If somebody could just post yes, no, whatever, that would help me out a lot. Renata, apparently, let me just tell her that that it's at her end. Okay, everybody else has got sound. Okay. Wow, man. Okay, good. 5x5 on the sound. Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Lane. Thanks, Joel. Thanks, Lori. We got another caller here. Let's see what Curtis has to say. Curtis, welcome from Texas there, buddy.
Hi. Gobbs, good sound. I can hear it just fine.
Okay, great. Did you have a comment or question, or was it just a report on the sound?
Just a report on the sound. Had a long day today, a 12-hour shift.
Oh, boy, that is a long day.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. I'll go ahead and mute you then. Just relax.
All right. Enjoy the show.
All right. Thanks, Curtis. Take care. Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless.
All right, excellent. The family grows, and the information's going out there, just as the scripture said. All things that have been hidden are becoming revealed. And the main thing I want people to understand is the world as you know it is going to be quite different as we go into the last part of this year. Be expecting almost anything, folks. President Trump put that proclamation, if you will, that the September would be the month of national preparedness. That's a warning that you need to put away a few things, folks. You need to have stuff in your pantry, in your go bag, whatever, that should things go nasty. Nobody knows for sure if it's going to go that way or even to what level. But the point they're trying to tell you, now, you don't have to believe anybody, but the Bible says a prudent man sees disaster coming and prepares for it. Prudent meaning wise, observant, okay? Now, if you can't tell that we're on the precipice here of some disastrous things happening, I'm sorry, but you're just not paying attention. So even if you didn't listen to the Q posts, you should see just from the empirical evidence around you that we're in some very precarious times. So, banking-wise, you should have some cash on hand, obviously. Precious metals, you should have that. If you can afford it, you should have it. Something tied to precious metals. They're always valuable. They could go up dramatically from some of the reports I've seen. And again, it depends on how this all plays out. But do your best to be ready. But think of the things that you need to survive for 3 months. What do you need? Shelter's number one. A lot of people say water. No, you can go without water for a couple days. But shelter, you need shelter like right away. So you need a place for safety and shelter. Right after that, you've got to have a source of clean water. You've got to have a way to defend yourself, weapons of whatever choice you want. Okay? And then eventually you're going to need food. That's true. You've got to have food. Any particular medicines that you need that are difficult to get, you're going to need that as well. And you need them on hand so that you can sit tight and not be involved in the panic that might come from this. And again, I believe that there are good people trying to have this all come about with the least amount of upheaval possible. All right? But depending on where you are, it could go almost anywhere. Definitely for folks out there in the cities. And we've told you this for a long time. Even the Bible says that to flee from the cities, it refers to the leaving of the cities or high population density areas in the midst of turmoil, okay? I realize that Yahweh's got many of our people in a position where it's very difficult to move. I'm of the opinion Father doesn't put his children anywhere that he can't watch over them, okay? I give an example. When I came down here to this state, many of my friends told me I was crazy because of the demographics, because of the violence, especially down here below Miami. and all that. But I came anyway because I saw the indicators. I trusted the Father, and Father watched over me. I've been here for 10 years, and in that time have never had my life threatened. I've never seen too much in the area of violence. Now, do we hear sirens from time to time and gunshots? Sure do. But, you know, folks in Chicago hear that. Folks in New York hear that. Folks in New Jersey hear that. Folks in Texas hear that. Folks in California hear that. So my point being, you've got to trust in what our Father has you as an individual assigned to do. We all have a part to play. He's got us all separated right now for some strange reason. But at some point, we're going to come together in groups. The Word says that. Logic says that. That's in the hearts of our people. And so at some point, we're going to come back together in groups. But for the next couple months, you need to stay focused and keep your eyes open. Be like Gideon's men down by the creek when they were getting a drink of water in the break in the action. And his military men got down there and they brought the water up to their face to drink by cupping their hands in the creek, which I've done 1,000 times as a boy growing up in a farm. Get down there in that nice, cool, clear water and just cup your hand and bring it up to your face. Why? So you can continue to keep your eye on the horizon. Okay, that's symbolic of don't take your eyes off what's going on. Okay, be wise like Gideon's people. So keep an eye. You're liable to hear and see almost anything. And this week, we've already seen that the left is just going nuts over the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings, over Trump's announcement that, or at least some leakers are putting it out there, that he could declassify those 20 missing pages from the IG report. Personally, I think he may declassify more material than that. They know the NSA and military units already have all the information. So any of these naysayers out there that think that the left is going to be able to stop this stuff from coming out, they can't. The communists can't do that. All right? They would have to overthrow the entire country. They can't do that. Here's an important thing to remember. Now, we've talked about the communists that have infiltrated this country, and when I interviewed General Ben Parton and Colonel Don de Grand Pre and Colonel Francis and many others in the military, we talked about the fact that they are here, they are operating in here, and most Americans are brain dead to the fact that they are here and they are undermining our way of life, our country, our values, our government. But here's the one thing to remember. A lot of people say, well, we're being set up. This accuses a PSYOP, and the New World Order is going to do this, and we're going to be led into the tribulation, and they've got it all planned, and we're all going to die. Well, I'm still here. I still have a mission, and I don't plan on dying. Now, will I kill the enemy if they come after me? Yeah, absolutely. Either that or I'll go down trying. But remember this. And we've said this, and so did the military guys. The communists are cowards because the communists are Jewish. They're cowards. They do not want to fight in a fair fight. They never fight in a fair fight. They only come in when they outnumber the enemy or when it's Israeli soldiers with automatic weapons and body armor taking on Palestinian children at the age of 10 who are throwing rocks. Okay, they're really brave and full of bravado when that's the case. So here you've got the United States, the communist Jews want to go the same way that Russia did 100 years ago. Big difference is that we are still armed. Okay? We are still armed. And we outnumber them. Even if they had complete 100% control of the military, law enforcement, sheriff's departments, etc., we still outnumber them. And they don't have control over all those groups. I've spoken to plenty of them over the years, especially the retirees. Okay, so they don't have the loyalty of our military trained individuals. They do not have our liberty teeth, which is our weapons. So that to me is very significant. So I'm going to still put my faith in, first of all, Heavenly Father and his plan. Second of all, I think there's good guys behind whoever's putting these Q tidbits out for us. I trust them. Probably about 90%, certainly enough to follow it and piece it together with other intel. I think there's good people in the journalistic movement, the citizen journalist, just like the citizen soldier. We are the answer. We the people are the answer. Not government, not police, not military. We the people are the answer. Citizen soldiers, citizen politicians, citizen statesmen, citizen preachers, not your seminary-trained harlots that are out there who have sold their soul to Satan, preaching the doctrines of devils instead of the truth. They are cursed. And they're going to find out what it's like to be cursed by Yahweh very soon, just as the Jews are going to find out, as Ezekiel and Obadiah told us so plainly, what their destiny is. Why? Because they're antichrists. You know, all of us wish that people would just simply behave themselves. We don't like what we're doing, getting everybody ready for this upheaval. We don't like the idea of people going to the gallows. I don't particularly like the idea of somebody having to be put to death for their crimes, but I also don't like the idea of knowing little children are herded into the basement of some rich person's estate where they are tortured, sexually abused, and then murdered, and in some cases, eaten. That, to me, is more disgusting than watching some pervert hang from the end of a rope. So when your heart wants to bleed for these MFers, all you have to do is picture your child in the basement, tied up, knowing the hideous things that are going to happen to him. Put your mind and your body in that basement with your hands tied and your mouth gagged. Put yourself in the position of that woman who's being sold as a sex slave world round. Put your position, your son in that position where he's being sold into the sex slave trade for the homosexuals against his will. Put your wife in that position when these muds from other lands invade our territory and rape her the afternoon you're out at work. You see, I put my heart and my feelings there with the victims of these criminals. Therefore, I would have no problem putting a bullet in any one of them. I would have no problem pulling the lever and watching their sorry asses hang from ropes. I'm going to tell you, it wouldn't bother me one bit. All I have to see is the picture of one child in the basement of one of these perverts and what they've done to her. That's all it would take. One child, and I will execute every one of them. That's all it would take. Now, if I feel that way, can you imagine that there's other men out there that might feel that way? I believe there's a whole army of us out here waiting for the go sign, waiting for our Father to lift the restrainer from our men. Every time I've given a talk to our people, I've asked the men if they feel like they have an invisible force field holding them back. Every meeting for 20 years, almost every man at those meetings said that that's exactly how they felt. There's an invisible restrainer telling our men, not yet, not yet. Yet. Like Gideon's men, we have our shields, we have our spears, we have our swords. The man with the inkhorn has already identified the enemy. Yahweh said, I will send my messengers among you to identify the enemy. The tares among the wheat are being identified right now, pretty obvious who these noxious, poisonous tares are. Therefore, Yahweh's judgment is right around the corner. And Tina writes in here, praise Yahweh for his men, not yet, but soon. Jimmy puts in here, we will never cower ever. Indeed, never shall we cower. The enemy may throw many things at us. Sometimes this week's been rough on me. I've felt some medical things going on, but it will not overcome me. It makes my job a little more difficult. It makes getting things done a little more difficult. It's just like the troll that comes in here to annoy me on the call. Yeah, it makes it more difficult. It takes a lot more to concentrate when you're having to divert your attention to that sort of nonsense. But they aren't going to overcome us, ever, because we don't give up. I like the meme that goes around showing the German soldier of World War II, and it says, white people are nice until they're not. Because the truth of World War I and World War II is starting to come out now, and people are starting to open their eyes to that. You know, and I'm going to say it again, Germany was the only army, I'll throw in Italy, because actually the Mussolini's men were the same way. So the Italian and German armies were the only armies ever dedicated to the destruction, not coexistence, but the destruction of Jewish communism. Now, why were they so opposed to it? Because they lived over there and saw what the Jewish communists did to the Russians and to the Ukrainians and to the Serbs and many others. They saw it firsthand. Okay? They're not like people in America that have their heads up their rectums, so they don't know if it's daylight or nighttime. All they know is what the Jewish media puts in front of their faces. Over there, they lived it. They understood it, and they dedicated their armies to stopping it. So the Jews went to work with their allies in Great Britain and France and a few other countries to come to the United States through their agents over here, like Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Harry Truman, Woodrow Wilson, and many others. And their control of the press to lead us into the fighting of our own cousins in Europe, fighting them and killing them by the millions so that Jewish communism could survive. Because I'm going to tell you something, if the Allies had not interfered, the Germans and the Italians would have defeated communism and it would have died in Russia. So that's innocent blood on our hands, folks. Not the Germans and the Italians. That's on our hands. Because we unleashed a monster called communism on this world. And now that monster's here in the United States and virtually every other white nation trying to do the final destructive events to taking this world over and giving the Jews complete dominion over this earth, which is what their goal is. And they are very outspoken about the fact that they think they're the only ones who have the right to rule this earth and that the rest of us are here as mere slaves. That's why they can steal our children, rape our children, murder our children, and eat our children. Because they're nothing but animals to these creatures. So, does my heart go out to these animals? No, not at all. No, these people that Christ condemned and said that they were here to steal, to kill, and destroy. And that's exactly what they have done. So, does my heart bleed for these Zionist pigs and their cohorts that go into these different rituals where they kill people, especially our children? No, my heart does not bleed for them at all. My heart is to see them perish, as they should. If there are real men left, and the indicators say that we do have some left, this army from the dead and dry bones spoken of by Ezekiel, these people that had no conscience, no spirit left in them, will grow bodies again. They will become spiritual men and women of Yahweh again. And once you know the Father, you can't have anything but contempt for these creatures that walk amongst us and do these hideous, awful, awful things. You know, it's one thing to try to steal the wealth of the world, which they have done. They have stolen businesses, intellectual property, inventions, you name it. They've stolen it. So the tremendous wealth in man's eyes, but it's not enough. That would be bad enough, just stealing all the wealth. But when you go and you murder the most innocent amongst us, no, no mercy for these people whatsoever. So as we go into the next couple months, you are going to have many things revealed to you, and quite a few of them are going to shake you to your very core. The Bible says that some of the people will die from faintness of heart. Do you know what that's a biblical way of saying? That your heart literally cannot take in the criminality that's been done right under our noses and by the people that you were told by your media to trust, whether it's the Catholic Church, your local parish, your local minister, preacher, priest, whatever, to your government, to foundations, to charities, to humanitarian organizations, all of them are fronts for these criminals. The celebrities in Hollywood, your sports figures, people that you were told to worship and adore are going to turn out to be some of the most heinous criminals ever to walk this earth. Are you prepared for it? So watch for the declassification of these government documents. The fact that the hammer is about ready to fall on these criminals can be attested to by the mainstream media becoming completely unhinged. I mean, they are about as unhinged as you can get. And that includes members of Congress, people in Washington, people in the media, people in industry. Many of these people have been outed and know that they will face execution for what they've done. And so they've pulled out the stops. You should not be surprised. But at the same time, because they are so panicked and so obsessed with getting Trump out of there, because they know if Hillary had been elected, this murder and mayhem would have continued. They are so possessed about this because they have the most to hide. Look who's screaming the loudest, and you'll find the ones with the most to hide. Q has made mention of that. Logic should tell you the same thing. Now, again, we referred to back to the basics for the next couple months. And again, my personal recommendation, based on the military people I talk to, again, is that you have at least 3 months to hunker down. Wherever you're at, just sit tight until the dust settles. Once the dust settles, then the rebuilding will start. You know, the Bible talks about Armageddon. Now, Armageddon could be symbolic. It doesn't necessarily have to be a specific place. Armageddon is a great battle. The Dead Sea Scrolls refer to this as well. The great battle between the children of light and the children of darkness. We're there, folks. You are witnessing history in the making. Biblical, scriptural history at the end of the age. You're there. Hallelujah. We've made it. We are sitting in a position that our ancestors dreamed about. To see the end of these people and the glory of Yahshua return to this earth, not as a carpenter's son, not as a victim of these Jews, but as a commander riding on a charger for war. Yeah. Time to put the vermin in the dirt where they belong and bring true peace and prosperity to this earth for all of those that remain. Now, you're going to see a lot of people go by the wayside. You really are. And some of them will be friends and relatives. They're not going to make it. So you got to prepare that way too. Mentally be prepared for the fact that some of your associates, your family, etc., they're not going to make it. Some of them may be even part of these trafficking organizations, and you just don't know it. Some of them are going to be just blasphemers and without faith in the Father. They won't have the blood of Christ on themselves, and therefore they're not going to make it, just as the Hebrews in Egypt on the night of Passover. The Hebrews that were spared the death of their firstborn sons were who? Those that had what? The blood of the Lamb covering their doorposts. There's symbology if ever I saw it. The blood of the Lamb. Who's covered in the blood of the Lamb? Those who know the Christ and have asked for his blood to cover their sins, their transgressions of his law. Father says, I can throw all that into the sea of forgetfulness. Why do you think people cry the hot tears when they realize Christ has entered their life? Because you can feel that cleansing. Unless, of course, you've never experienced that. I would suggest that you get down, whether you pray on your knees or not is not the question, but that you heartfelt prayer to the Father for that forgiveness. Whether you pray the sinner's prayer or not, it's not that important. Father knows. It's when it's from the heart, folks, from the heart, to our King of Kings, that he reaches down and touches you by the Holy Spirit. And you can feel it. You know it. Just like you know when the sun comes up and those rays hit your face, there's no doubt that it's there. There's no doubt of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life if you've had that experience. Remember, the blood of the Lamb prevented the death angel during that hideous night when the Egyptians thought they were going to do the children, the Hebrew children, in with that disastrous curse upon them. So just as it was then, so it is now. This could be a second Passover. Yeah, does the enemy want to destroy you and me? Absolutely. Absolutely. There's even a rabbi coming out that Judaism can't succeed in what it wants to do on this earth unless Christianity is destroyed, which means that those of you of faith are destroyed. So the enemy's very outspoken about their intentions. It's the problem of our people sitting in churches in those whitewashed sepulchres listening to that prostitute up there fill their heads full of nonsense that the Jews are God's chosen people and that somehow they're going to miraculously come back to Christ. Well, they're not even the people of the Bible, number one. Number two, no, they're never going to change. Ever. Leopard can't change its spot. Christ would have told us that that would happen, and no, that's not going to happen. What is going to happen is the Israelites, according to Ezekiel, are finally going to get off of their knees and allowing these interlopers to rule over us and rise up as the righteous men and women that Yahweh wanted us to be from the beginning. All of this turmoil, all of these heartaches that we see are because men have black hearts. There's nothing of Yahweh within them. Men who have been regenerated and know the Christ and know the Father, they can't even conceive of doing what we read about these people doing. We can't even conceive of that. It doesn't even enter our minds. And if we had our way, we would put to death anybody that thinks that that's an okay thing to do. Because that's what Scripture says. You don't compromise with evil. You don't try to overlook evil. Everything in Scripture says you deal with evil. You deal with evil with a sword. And that's what's wrong. We've allowed the Jews to tell us that the death penalty is cruel and unusual. Why is that? Because most Jews have committed capital crimes. Either spying, pedophilia, prostitution, hooking our children on drugs, you name it. Anything that panders to the vice of men, Jews are involved in it. And they make money at it. And so, of course, they don't want the death penalty because a whole lot of their people would be gone. Well, shame on us for listening to them. And shame on these lying preachers that teach this nonsense that the Jews are God's chosen people and that we shouldn't look at the Bible law as being very important compared to man's law. Where did that doctrine come from? Let's see. Who took over government and got into our court system? Who were five out of the justices of the Supreme Court, let's say Jews, and the rest of them are white Jews called Catholics or Mormons. That's another group of white Jews. Okay? How many white Anglo-Saxon Protestants do you see as part of any of our government anymore? So, in effect, they've already accomplished that, haven't they? So, are we going to stand and fight with our Father when the time comes, or are we going to let the Antichrist just rule right over us? I don't know about you folks, but I think we're supposed to fight with everything we've got. The Proverbs tells us that Yahweh's people resist evil with everything that's in their bodies, their heart, mind, and soul. Everything that is them resists evil. And because we have failed in that task is why the world is in travail. And it's our job to get back to doing it right. Now, I did tell you that the economic reset, that sounds like it's on a verge of happening almost any moment now. A lot of signs of strange things going on in banking. A lot of people that work in banks have told me their monitors froze up the other day. Just strange things. Any one incident would not be so important, but when you start seeing a whole bunch of incidents happening, you got to start paying attention, folks. So, again, I don't have a crystal ball to tell you precisely when it starts or exactly how these different things are going to happen, but are we on the precipice? Yeah, there is no doubt about that. You're going to see the great shaking spoken of in the New Testament, great shaking in the heavens and the earth, and the Greek words, it's exactly what you're seeing. Upheaval. As in the United States, you've got two completely opposite camps. You've got patriots who are typically Bible believers, believing in the law of do no harm, justice warriors, where on the other side are just completely mentally retarded, outright flaming communist liberals, and nothing in between. You're either in one camp or the other. There aren't very many people sitting on the fence anymore, exactly like we've said for years here, haven't we? Yahweh's making that fence razor sharp. So unless you've got a rear end made of steel, it's going to be really tough to sit on that fence this time. Really tough. You've got to come down on one side or the other. Make up your mind. And for the spooks listening, hey, I've told you for 19 years. I know you've been listening. You've got a tough decision to make. You've got a tough decision because, you know, Yahweh is not a respecter of persons or titles. Nope, none. You will stand on Judgment Day all by yourself. You're not going to be able to call in the Attorney General. You're not going to be able to call in the Inspector General, anybody from the White House, anybody from the Pentagon. No, you're on your own. And just because a bunch of perverts in nice suits in offices way too nice for them put a piece of paper in front of you and say, look, we made it legal. Really? Let me know how that works out for you on Judgment Day. All you folks out there in the military and intelligence agencies, let me know how that works out for you. When you go up to the King of Kings and you say, well, my superior told me to do this, or the head spook down at Langley told me to go out and commit murder, or to lie on the witness stand, or to obfuscate evidence. Really? And you people actually think you're going to get away with it? Scripture says our Father is laughing in derision at the plans of the Antichrists. And I think the patriots and the believers out there are kind of chuckling to themselves, listening to what these complete imbeciles are talking about. It's all going to fall apart. Whether Q is 100% right or not, doesn't matter. Read your Bible. It's following the same exact scenario from the book of Revelation and the prophets. We were told an economic collapse will bring down this system in a very short period of time. And guess what? Everybody I'm listening to, whether they read the Bible or not, is saying the exact same thing. So, if ever there was a time that you want to be as close to our Father in heaven as you can be, it's now. If you've put that on the back burner and thought, well, I'll get around to it, no, no, no. You'd better take care of where you stand with the Father right now. Because I'm going to tell you something. The only reason I don't have nightmares, the only reason I do not fear the future at all, ever, is only because of my walk with the Father. And that same walk can be yours. All you have to do is ask. You have to open the door and let him in. He's knocking at the door. He's calling out your name. He wants to bless you and I. But you have to let him in. He calls upon us. We are the called out ones. That's true. He does the deciding on who to call out. But you have to answer the call. You have to open the door and let him in. And I'm going to tell you something. With all of the garbage that we see and hear today, there's no greater sense of joy than knowing that you're on the right team. No matter what you see going on, it doesn't matter. You're on the right team. Everything happening will be for your benefit in some way. Everything happening from this moment on. If this is the night you decided to give your heart to the Father, then from this moment on, there isn't anything going to happen in your world unless it's supposed to. As the scripture says, all things work to the good for those who love the Father. Praise Yahweh. Now, I know a lot of folks out there like to think that Father's a female. And again, folks, I'm not trying to put females down. However, the scripture is very plain. It uses the masculine articles when referring to our Father. He's called our Father for a reason. Father first. Okay? It's been in our history from day one. There's never been any doubt that that's the hierarchy. Father first, Adamic man second. That's the chain of command. When do things work? When you follow the chain of command. You military people know what I'm talking about. Follow the chain of command. Every one of you men should be looking to the Father for answers and looking for guidance. And then you, in turn, share that information and guidance with those that you're responsible for, which would be your ladies and your children that are under your, what is it called? Coverture. Look it up. The law of coverture comes from the French word couvert, which means to cover. Couverture. Coverture. It's a very simple law. Yahweh watches over Adam. Adam watches over the family. Who makes up the family but the ladies and the children? And again, you know, a lot of people get hung up on this. Not all the ladies have children. That's not the point. Nowhere in Scripture does it differentiate between ladies that one lady's more important or higher ranking simply because of whether or not she had children. Is it important? Well, of course it's important. We pretty much die out if we don't have children, right? But is it the all-important feature? Or is it the heart? Abraham didn't throw Sarah away because she was barren. And eventually Yahweh performed a miracle, didn't he? Last time I checked that part of Scripture, it seems to me that's what happened. So you never know what tomorrow brings, folks. That's the whole point. Why are you putting shackles on our Heavenly Father? He created this world that we are in right now. Nothing's coming into this world lest He allows it. So some of you folks out there are getting off on this Planet X, Nibiru, asteroids, aliens, and all this other stuff. I put that in one basket. It's called nothing comes through here lest Yahweh is behind it. Period. He made this world. He put the firmament over it. And there ain't nothing getting in here unless He allows it. Done deal. I sleep good at night. Now, for the folks that want to worry about such things, that's your prerogative. You have a right to, obviously. But I'm not going to join you because I, A, don't believe in it, and number two, there is no cause, there's no benefit to being worried about something I cannot control. What's the enemy up to? Lots of things. Can I control it? No. What can I do? Tell the truth as best as I can. When I was given an opportunity to have a radio show, I took it. Was I nervous? Sure I was. Did I make mistakes? You betcha I did. But I did it anyway. All right? Has He blessed me for that? Yep. Multitudes of ways. You see my point? Whatever you can fix or change, that's what you focus on. The rest of it is fireside chat, what if conversations, whatever. But you don't lose sleep over it. You don't get worried about it. Because you're in the camp of the saints, and it's just not our job, okay? Not our job to worry about those things that we cannot verify and or change ourselves. It's really that simple. I think I covered all the main bullet points. Again, the phone lines will be open if anybody has something else they want to add or support what we've already talked about or any new news. This is a channel for communications, not just for me to you. It's for you out there to me and to the rest of the family, because that's what I think we all are. We're all part of a big family. We stopped thinking like family, and that's how the enemy got us. They got us fighting amongst the men with the women, the parents with the children, Italians with Greeks, Greeks with Romans, with Germans, with English, with Irish, French, anything to divide us, northern against southern, when in reality, doesn't matter what country you come from, doesn't matter what language you speak. If your DNA is the DNA of Abraham and Sarah, then you're my brother and my sister. Start thinking like a family. We got to get through this like a family. Maybe that's what this is all about. Did you ever think about it? Because we've abandoned all of the precepts in the Scripture about family. Everything in there that He taught that's common sense about how you racially treat each other and survive as a strong family. We've abandoned it all. chasing after the almighty dollar and to be popular amongst people who are not of our kind, culturally or even racially. We've abandoned it. That's pretty pathetic if you think about it. Okay, we got, I think Jimmy's got something he wants to add. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Hey, Dan, just real quick comment, and I love the Wednesday nights, a little past my bedtime, but you know what, brother, you nailed it. You nailed it. I'm sitting here experimenting with some different sets for your show, this, that, and the other, but you said it best, and you and I have had several calls on air and off air about the unity of the team or the group, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, and maybe small number, but I won't even go into the mathematics of that. But you know what, Dan? I'm going to go ahead and spill it, and then you can ask me at the end of your show if I have any comments. I'm probably going to say no, but maybe not. But let me fast-track the list I made from your comments, because you were so spot on. Food, water, we've been preaching that, you and I, for a long time. I won't belabor that. But then again, I will get some food and water. You made good points, Dan. Food is secondary. Shelter is number one. Shelter in place, and then begin to gather. I mean, come on. Rice, beans, cheap. In Tampa, and I'm sure in your communities, I'm serious, people. I'm damn dead serious. Rice and beans, you buy them in bags like a 5-pound bag of flour that you ladies are used to buying. And I don't mean to be disrespectful. Get that. That's going to be under $10. That'll keep you going two people for a damn long time. Secondly, and I'm just touching on the points, Dan, down the list. And at the end of the day, what you said really triggered me. The men of this country stand ready. I stand ready, Dan. You have my word. You and I have broken bread and looked each other eye to eye, sir, correct?
Correct.
So would you say that my word is good? If you knocked on my door at 3 a.m., would I strap up and go out with you?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Well, is that what it's going to come to, sir? And I know I'm kind of straying off your show clock, but, Dan, you know what? I have patience. I have extreme patience. I just went through a nasty water supply issue that turned out to be one hairline fracture in a piece of feeder PVC that I couldn't see or feel, okay? And I want to just tell folks, no matter, like you just said, brother, no matter how dark the storm is, it's probably something simple, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to pass it back, Dan, because my list is long, and I don't want to take up your airtime here. But I will agree with you, sir, 100%. We need to keep an eye and an ear to the ground and an eye to us, our groups. I'm watching. You're watching. You're a wealth of news, Dan. Thank you so much for your time on that. But the shit's coming. It is. Dan's got a lot more time than I have, but I've been preaching on the air for 6-8 years. 6 years, to be honest. Come on, and doesn't make me anything special, like you said, Dan. But at the end of the exercise, when the shit hits the fan and people come to my door or somebody sends me an email, hey, I'm coming to your house because the shit has hitting the fan. Dan, you and I have had deep discussions on this. My answer is going to be no. Would you concur, sir, on that?
Well,
that's a broad brush, but...
Yeah, that's a difficult one, and everybody's going to have to face it because, excuse me, all of us have friends and family who have ignored the warnings. And all I can relate it to is the parable about the virgins and their lamps and the ones who did not prepare with enough oil. They were out, okay? It's very tough, but here's the problem. Most people put enough stuff away for their immediate group, whatever size it is. And if you start bringing in because you've got a soft heart, you start bringing in all those that don't have any preparations made, pretty soon you're down to next to nothing as far as supplies. Well, what happens when that happens? Even the best of friends and closest of relatives will literally kill each other if it's a question of starving.
Well, Dan, your timeline is very kind compared to my example, and I don't mean to sound argumentative, but at the end of the exercise, I don't know how long my best friend would not be eyeing my stores and my facility that he didn't prepare for. And, of course, he's got mama bear and two baby cubs, and I always throw that in but that actually isn't relevant in today's world. I can't even say human beings. We have things amongst us that could give a rat's ass about you and I. They have no compassion whatsoever, none. I wonder how they function, but as I have torn into some, they're, you and I are paying them, Dan, and others listening, okay? So we're paying the enemy, and I know it went down in the rabbit hole, but isn't it time for us to identify the cause and eradicate it rather than playing these silly games with these shootings and discussing the Second Amendment, which is rock solid. Real quick, Dan, if I have a minute, I aired all the hearings yesterday and today, mostly today, and they tried so hard to wrap up, hem up Kavanaugh on the Second Amendment. They tried to get him to make admissions, Dan. And I'm not an attorney, but you know, you know, I got a little bit of rubby elbows on that responsibility. They were setting him up for if the Dems win the impeachment. And if they do put Kavanaugh in, Dan, then they're going to hold his ass to the fire on his testimony under oath. I saw that. I smelled that worse than a dead fucking bacon wrap filet that needs to go on my grill. Yeah.
Yep.
I yield. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. We got Curtis one to come back, and then I'll unmute you on the other board.
Oh, cool. Sure.
Go ahead, Curtis.
You know, Pastor Dan, something did come to mind. It's called Petzlins. It's something that, say, preparing for famine, there's something like pestilence would be, you get distracted from worries, and the worries and cares of this world, propaganda. Like this is something far out, way, way out, but it was somewhat of a conspiracy, but you told me not to be focused on conspiracies and that Yahweh take care of it, but I feel that the Vietnam War was the whole thing from start to finish was about Johnson trying to get the Civil Rights Act enforced. I think the same thing with George Bush and the Iraq War. It's just to create a bunch of distraction to further desegregate society and make it more globalized. But I think that's just the example of the cares of this world and distractions that keep us from preparing for what we're supposed to and how we should be caring about each other. But all these distractions or pestilences is a great distraction. It keeps us from preparing and doing what we're supposed to do. And I think that's a big weapon of the enemy, is that the pestilence, the distraction, the chaos.
Oh, yeah. Well, they don't do anything by accident either. I mean, there's a purpose for a lot of this stuff that goes on. It's not happenstance. That's why Q is constantly asking, do you believe in coincidences? No, I don't. They're not coincidences.
Right.
So, there were nefarious reasons for all of these wars and different things that have happened. They make it like some strange event happened, and all we had to, like the Gulf of Tonkin for Vietnam, which was just a ruse and a lie. Lyndon Baines Johnson should be dug up and burned in effigy for being the piece of crap that he was. But, all this stuff is, there's been way too many deaths, way too much war, way too much racial strife that's created because they benefit. As long as there's strife, they benefit. We're not paying attention to what they're doing. We don't have enough money and time and energy because we're dealing with all the other problems. I thought it was kind of interesting when there was some event here recently and somebody, one of these glamorous highlights, made a statement that this is really great to train the next generation of workers. Whoa, you just made the hair on the back of my neck stand up with that one. What do you mean, train the next generation of workers? You sound like part of the cabal. Where in the Bible does it say that our goal is to raise our children up and train them to be the next set of workers for the merchants of the world? That's their system. Yahweh didn't expect us all to have to work 40, 50, 60, 70 hours a week to pay taxes, to pay for fees, to pay for fines, to pay for military and all this other stuff. That's a man-made system. We were told that we are free men upon the land and that we can raise our families amongst the resources as long as we don't hurt the earth in the process, we're free to come and go and settle and everything else. This is all man-made stuff, and we're trapped in a matrix of man's creation. And that's where people it's what Proverbs says. My people suffer from a lack of knowledge. That's true. But what about the verse that says, my people suffer from a lack of vision? Our people don't even have the vision of what liberty means anymore. They don't know what it means to own your land. You don't own it. You're a renter. The state owns it. And if you don't think so, just stop paying your taxes on it. You'll find out who owns it. Okay, if you owe a tax on it, you don't own it. If you have to register it every year, you don't own it. People got to wake the hell up. I mean, this is not what Father intended. Father wanted people to be able to live out their lives relatively stress-free, growing real food, drinking real clean water, unpolluted with all the stuff the merchants put in it, and all of our food with the glyphosate and all the other poisons. That's all a creation of a man-made system. I don't participate in any of that to the best of my ability. That's why I don't go to doctors. I don't go to hospitals. I don't go to pharmacies. I don't want anything from those people. I don't want any of it at all. If I can get the men to agree on a piece of ground, we are going to establish an organic farm, a working farm. And everybody that comes there will be a tenant on the farm. And we're going to grow real food, and we're going to raise clean animals, and we're going to obey Yahweh's law in everything we do. And it's going to prosper. There's no way it cannot prosper. Do you see it that way?
Oh, I do.
You still there, Curtis?
Still am.
Oh, okay.
Very, very spot on.
Well, would you let me just ask you, Curtis, if there was a plot of ground, let's say, just for the hell of it, let's say 500 acres that a bunch of Yahweh's people wanted to go and basically camp out there and live the way Moses and Abraham and David and our people have done for thousands of years, and grow our own stuff and raise animals humanely and butcher them humanely. We won't eat near as much meat, so there won't be near as much butchering going on because you don't need it. What you need is lots of good veggies and fruit and all that stuff and nuts and berries. So if you had a chance to be with a group of people like that, do you think it'd be worth it?
Oh, absolutely. It'll be stress, like you said before, it'll be stress-free life that Yahweh wanted to do. We cut down the stress. We'll eat different too, and we'll communicate differently with each other. That's with the knowledge that Yahweh put into our minds, and we all probably experienced the troubles of this world now, modern world, through our great grandparents, great grandparents, and their great grandparents. All the experiences and technology that they taught us through the generations. I think it could be paradise on earth. It'll be a great thing, great idea.
Right. I just got off the phone before airtime with a good friend of mine. He's a Navy veteran. I worked with him in the power industry. And he's a contractor like I was when I was working. And he told me about the last job he was on. They hired him as an electrical engineer. And he was working for a contractor who had a state contract to put up something like a drawbridge or something like that. And he's working on this project, and he said, Dan, he goes, I never worked with a group of people so incompetent in all my life. And I said, really? And he said, I constantly am in battles trying to tell the other people that I'm working with the things that they're doing wrong as an electrical engineer that they can't do, and they just won't listen to me. They think that, like one guy said something, well, this wire, if you land it on the wrong terminal, you're going to stop it from functioning. And the guy said, it's only one wire. What could it make a difference for? Well, anybody that's done any wiring out there or done anything, which Jimmy can attest to, as an electrical engineer, mislanding one lead can make all the difference in the world when you're talking about control systems and electrical circuits. So he's dealing with people like that. He was just fired because he raised safety concerns and put it in a memo, and he sent a copy of the memo to the state representative that's overseeing the project, and the contract company that hired him fired him for doing that. And I said, well, wait a minute. He's part of the team. Shouldn't he be aware of everything going on? He goes, well, that's what I thought. He goes, I've been doing it for 6 months. Nobody had a problem. But because of the wiring issues that we got now and we're behind schedule, they fired me for bringing up these safety concerns and whatnot. So all of us are getting tired of corporate America, which has become corrupt. All right? That's the problem. Our corruption is not just in the Beltway and Pentagon and state capitals now. The corruption has gone and eked its way down through the ranks to where you can't hardly go anywhere in society, whether you're talking corporations, banking, churches, charities, you name it. And it's just corrupt. Corrupt. It's all about the money. As long as they're making money, they don't care about safety. They don't care about whether it works properly. A good case in point, what happened when the orangutan was put in the White House? He hired that orangutans up in Canada that sold us a bill of goods with a software program to supposedly run the Affordable Care Act. It didn't work from day one, but we paid how many hundreds of millions of dollars for this software that was junk, and it never worked, and nobody was punished for that. You see what I'm saying? When I was a young boy, If you didn't perform on the baseball field, you got a clipboard over your head. If you didn't perform on the baseball or the football field, you might get a clipboard and a foot up your rear end. There was punishment. There was reward for good behavior and accomplishment, and there was punishment for bad attitudes and bad behavior. And people say, well, that's not a proper way you could have your feelings hurt. Well, I'm going to tell you, having lived through it, I would rather have that done to me than to coddle me and lie to me and have me grow up believing a world that exists this way when it doesn't. I grew up knowing that there are consequences to your decisions, whether you like it or not. And if you're going to be an ass, or if you're going to be lackadaisical in the performance of your duties, well, it's going to show. And there's going to be consequences for that. So now we got a whole society, and we got a generation or two of young people that have been taught entitlement, and your feelings are more important than facts. And if somebody hurts your feelings by telling you you're a dope or you didn't do it right or whatever, I mean, I still remember coming out of the Air Force, hiring into the power plant, and I had a journeyman talking about how to calibrate a radiation monitor one day, and I reached for the wrong potentiometer to turn it, and he hit me with a ruler. And I mean, hit me. Now, did I stand up and punch his lights out? I was bigger than he was. I could have done it. Did I scream and yell? Or did I just simply say, yeah, wait a minute, brother. You know, you're hitting me with a ruler. What goes here, bud? And then he said, because you were getting ready to turn that, and here's what would have happened if you did. And I thought, rather than try and explain it to you, I would just hit you to get your attention. So here again, you know, are we so soft and so delicate that we can't take a punch or a ruler across the knuckles or whatever in order to get through the day and to do things right? Are we so soft and supple and so much a soy boy or girl that we can't take that? I'd rather be the rough and rugged guys out on the football field and the baseball field and in the workplace where every now and then you got into a wrestling match or somebody would haul off and hit you. That's much better than a world where they just placate you and tell you, oh, it's okay, Charlie. Don't worry about it. We'll get that bad guy to hurt your feelings. We'll get that bad teacher that was going to spank you for being a bad... Don't you worry, Johnny. Don't worry. Your feelings are much more important than reality. Choice is yours, folks. Which world do you want to live in? I want to live in Yahweh's world. Does anybody out there agree or what? I'm sick of this fake world that we live in. Go ahead, Curtis.
Yeah, I'd like to make it... I'd like to concur that with... Through the 70s, I knew that people's lives were ruined through the public school systems. They bust in all these non-whites, and they just distracted these young people's minds, and they couldn't learn anything. And not only that, all the distractions and all the chaos turned them into faggots and turned them into... there's just a bunch of over-talkative idiots. They can't reason. They're so distracted, and their society is so corrupt and chaotic that they just can't reason anymore. I think they were forced. They're dopes.
Well, we've abandoned our first goal, which was, why was Adam put here? To tend a garden. Tend means to take care of it, to keep it. To keep it means to maintain it. And we haven't done that. We've got at least two generations, or maybe three, especially since World War II and the mayhem of it, which I was born shortly after that.
Well, New York City was fell first. It was pretty liberal even in the 40s.
New York City. But most of the cities are usually corrupt. Good people, you don't want to be in a city. I mean, that's just common sense. Cities are not good. I've never been in a city I liked yet. I can't stand cities, to be honest. So I don't know. We're in the middle of some things that are going to happen. That's all I can tell you. I can't tell you the details other than the fact that as I interpret and others interpret what the Q boards are saying, it looks like they're going to declassify. When they do that, heads are going to roll. The left is going to be extremely angry, trying to save their lives, literally trying to save their lives, not just their careers and their wealth. And it's all starting to come apart for them, and they're going to get nasty. That's why you have to be on your guard. They may try a false flag. They may try. They've already tuned up the media to pump out all sorts of complete garbage. So that's a sign right there. They wouldn't do it if there wasn't a reason. So they're doing it because they're panicking. The information's getting ready to come out. So we have to be prepared for whatever the left might do. We also have to be prepared for helping the good guys. And we have to be prepared for some of the nasty, nasty stuff that's going to be revealed. So that's pretty much all I've got for tonight. Curtis, you got anything else to add before we sign off?
Not at all. Great show.
All right, Curtis. Thanks a lot for tuning in, and Yahweh bless you out there. And by the way, on the map that the guy puts out of the places to be when crap hits the fan, Texas was one of them because of the resources, the people, and some other reasons. But Texas was one of the places that he thought it was probably going to be okay. So, for what it's worth.
Yeah. I heard it's the same for Florida. It has contracts, treaties with other countries. It's on the seacoast.
Yeah, yeah. Florida was one. Texas, California, and some of the states up in the Northeast were some of the prime spots, according to this one analyst anyway. But, hey, the main thing is to be on the right side of the fence with Yahweh. That's the main thing for anybody. So, but anyway, have a good evening, sir, and Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless.
Jimmy, any comments before we shut her off for tonight, buddy? Are you there? Or okay, let's try it again. Jimmy?
See, Dan, you have to mash the right button. No, sir. okay, we thank you for your gift of time, and I'm always honored to be a part of your show. Of course, I was sitting here suturing up my tongue on your recent hour because I had so much to say, but you get it, Dan. And thank you so much for your time, sir, and I yield.
All right, buddy. Yahweh bless, and folks, keep checking on PastorDan.net for the schedule, the radio schedule. If there are any significant events that come up on the radar screen that I think you know, need to know, I will have a conference call more often than Wednesday and Sunday. So please check that schedule in case there is something that needs to be put out immediately to the house of Jacob Israel. In the meantime, we'll just stick with the current schedule, and we'll see how things go. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, we give you the praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We ask that your blessings be poured out upon those who love you, as the Word says. We ask that you put a hedge of protection around each and every one of us, because we know the enemy, both spiritually and physically, is making war with the saints. Many of us are being bombarded constantly. And we just ask that you lift us up and put a wall of protection around us. Give us the strength that comes from you. Give us the peace that passes all understanding that you promised when you walked this earth. We ask that you also guide us in everything that we do and say for thy glory and for thy kingdom. Forgive us our shortcomings, our stumblings, and occasionally even the sins. We are not perfect people. We know that. And we just ask that you cover that with the blood of Yeshua. And we just also ask that you would please come back soon to end all of this nightmare and end all of the infighting, all of the arguing about Sabbaths and which calendar and which feasts and how to do the feasts and everything that white people just love to argue about rather than to work together. we just can't seem to do it. And if you would come back, it would put an end to all of it, and it sure would make life a hell of a lot better on this earth. And we ask all these things in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.